Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, live from the studio. Just got up and got to put up the GCN show for this week on thebobdavispodcast.com as a podcast. So we're going to do that in podcast 505. So I don't know if you've seen these ads on YouTube with the guy who has all the money, and he's like, I'm here in my backyard, and I'm here in my garage with my Ferrari. I'm here in my jet. So that's what this is. I'm here in my studio that I rent with the vast sums of money that I earn from doing the podcasts. So I got washing to do, so I got to get that done. We're reheating the water. There's a lot going on here in the studio, so we're just going to get right into segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, GCN 28. Here we go. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show, where I bring content from my podcasts back to the radio. I always say at the beginning of the show, I've been a podcaster for a long time, and I found that podcasts can be very content rich. And so I've started doing this radio show to excerpt some of the content from the podcasts and get it on the radio. If you hear something that you're interested in, that you take exception to, or whatever, come to thebobdavispodcast.com and listen to the podcasts and see what you think. Now, if you're from the northern part of the United States, where I'm from, it's always a big surprise when summer finally comes, because you just don't think it ever will. And this weekend, especially this year, we really are seeing summer nearly upon us. So this is the big Memorial Day weekend with its barbecues and its parades, which is a three-day weekend for most people, and therefore a lot of people refer to it as a holiday. In fact, you might even hear people say, Happy Memorial Day weekend, which is really not what you're supposed to say, since this isn't so much a holiday as a somber commemoration Monday of those who have given their lives in service to the United States in war. And we're going to talk about that in this show. This is also an interesting waypoint for us politically, since we are nearly at the end of the presidential preference primary season. So what I'm going to do in this show is run down the last few primaries, which are more critical for Democrats than Republicans, since it's fair to say Donald Trump will be competing in the last few primaries alone. On the Democrat side, on the other hand, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is giving the Hillary Clinton camp, say that fast, the Hillary Clinton camp fits, because he refuses to be a good boy and back down. The Clintons, interestingly enough, like establishment Republicans, aren't used to people questioning or opposing them. So this is also going on in the Democratic Party. And I think it's interesting because the media has kind of ignored it up until this point. On the Democrat side, they're a lot more nasty about this kind of a thing. And so it's kind of an interesting show if you have eyes to see it. Here's the deal. If Bernie Sanders is able to perform well in the final few primaries in early June, as we will talk about, there may be some surprises at the Democrat convention. And suddenly the chattering class has discovered this rift, possible rift, I guess I should say, among Democrats, just as some Republicans are now starting to talk about unifying behind the New York developer and candidate for the Republican presidential nomination, Donald Trump. We got to unify and get behind the candidate because we can win everything. But my question, as you're going to hear in this show, is unify behind what? What is the body of policy advocated by Donald Trump, aside from sloganeering like Make America Great and build a wall and tell the Chinese where to get off and so forth. Nobody really knows what the policy advocated by Trump actually is, but that doesn't stop congressmen and senators and other polls terrified at losing favor and power in Washington from endorsing Trump suddenly, whatever he's for, because, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy the people voting Republican in the primary season have settled on. Now, let that statement settle in, because we're going to talk about it in this installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Donald Trump is the guy people voting on the Republican side in the primary season have settled on. The Republican Party Big Tent Coalition used to stand for free trade, a strong defense, largely to defeat totalitarian governments and protect free trade and defend the country and for less government at home. Does Donald Trump stand for those things? And if he doesn't, or doesn't care about those things, does it matter? What does Trumpism, for lack of a better term, mean for the future of the Republican voter and the Republican Party? Meanwhile, Trump's coronation isn't a done deal either. Remember, he still has to win the nomination first. And I hate to keep saying this because people get upset with me for continuing to say this. And it is foolhardy to say that he won't be able to manage the nomination because it looks like he will. But I still think something is up with establishment Republicans. Paul Ryan is a good example. Also, Eric Erickson and Mitt Romney and some others have continued to refuse to sort of give up. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the establishment does at the Republican convention. And given ongoing efforts by the remnants of the Cruz campaign to wrangle delegates at the state conventions, I think we're going to have to wait and see what the GOP convention actually is to see how many delegates actually show up for Trump and how many delegates actually vote for him on the first or potential successive ballots at the convention. I'm probably the only one continuing to say this, but I want to see what happens before I say this is what's going to happen, because there's a lot of tarot card and tea leaf reading among the pundits and so-called experts on TV these days who throw around words like presumptive and inevitable for the nominees, which the delegates yet have to select for both parties, and who it's going to quote-unquote be. And meanwhile, facts tend to be in short supply. And so we're going to talk about that as well. The fact is, this isn't over, and it isn't over until they nominate either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump or somebody else. And I think voters in aggregate numbers, while they have settled on Trump, it remains to be seen whether he will get the nomination. And I think that's an important point to make. Democrats also haven't really settled on Clinton or Sanders. And I think that's very interesting because they're presenting Hillary Clinton as the inevitable Democrat nominee. And if Sanders wins California or New Jersey, or does really well in those primaries, these superdelegates may start wavering on supporting the former Secretary of State. Now, about this show. As you know, the purpose of this show is to bring content from my podcast back to the radio. And I just want to say that some of the podcasts I've done this week deal with some pretty heavy content. And that takes some amount of explanation, which isn't always possible on the radio. So regard some of the segments of this show as thought starters. And if you hear something that you take exception to, I suggest visiting thebobdavispodcast.com and listening to the whole podcast in question. Now, it is true that I remain dissatisfied with the choices we've made in this election cycle so far. I do not support any of the candidates. I am not going to support any of the candidates. And aside from my natural aversion to endorsing any candidates from my lofty perch in media, I just can't get behind any of them. And I think because of that, my observations are going to be different and more true to who I am and what I believe personally, because I'm not trying to support or fight for a party or person when it comes to being on the radio or doing a podcast. So understand, I'm not attacking an individual, a group of individuals, a political party or issue, but I am asking you what you think you stand for and why, and what you think has happened in American politics and what it means for the future of the country. All things we're going to talk about in future podcasts and shows. And by the way, because I'm not supporting a party or candidate, I think it's good because I don't think that I will feel a need to defend or support them once they take office, as one of them eventually, I'm sure, will. That is up to you, not me. Coming up, to kids, Memorial Day means there's only about one more week of school left. To others, it means we have to put the dock in, or it means beer and brats. What does Memorial Day actually mean? Next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more episodes of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. In the studio with the racket going on with the washing machine, just ahead of the second segment of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. People ask, what are you washing in the what are you washing? What am I washing in my washing machine? Well, I am washing my yoga stuff because I'm going to go out and do some yoga before dinner tonight. I practice yoga every day, and I do it sometimes twice a day, and it is always in a crowded room, over 100 degrees, high humidity, a lot of sweating, and over the years, you can get very dehydrated. And if you are doing exercise and you are in pain and you are sore, it's probably not age, it's probably a hydration question. So when I found Hydrus, it transformed my yoga practice because now I can actually practice yoga. I can go to the edge. I don't have the soreness when I'm practicing. I don't have the soreness after practicing. When I wake up the next day, I don't feel beat up. I feel great when I wake up the next day and I'm ready to go practice again. So yeah, it transformed my yoga practice, and it will do the same if you are doing cycling, if you're doing CrossFit, if you're lifting, if you're doing any kind of competitive sport, still playing hockey or whatever. Hydrus makes a huge difference. Why? Well, Hydrus is a high-performance beverage. You mix it with water, and it uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness into your muscles. And there is no sugar that you find in traditional sports drinks. I always talk about the fact that people drink, I'll see this all the time. I see people drinking these, they bring in these gallon containers of water, they drink all of it, and then they go fill up again, and then they're on the floor because they still aren't hydrated. The thing about Hydrus is it gets electrolytes into your muscles really fast. It doesn't take 30 minutes to get hydrated. And that's why you can take it to the edge, and that is what it's all about. If you want to know more, get some Hydrus. Get some Hydrus for anyone who is playing collegiate sports, anyone who is doing walking. I know people that just sip this on a day-to-day basis because it helps with arthritis and other types of things. And I can't substantiate those kinds of claims, but people say that it works. So join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com, HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. There's all kinds of information on the website about how it works and how to get it. Once again, HydrusPerformance.com. All right, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Well, as I said at the beginning of the show, if you're from the north, anywhere in the northern tier, Memorial Day, especially in Minnesota and northern Wisconsin and the parts of North Dakota, can be really, really unpredictable. It can be beautiful, or you can be putting the dock in while chunks of ice float by on the lake. So you never know what you're going to get. This year, we have been exceptionally lucky because it feels more like summer in Minneapolis and St. Paul than many Memorial Days that I remember. So that's pretty cool. We call it Memorial Day But it's not a day necessarily to celebrate. Yeah, it's a three-day weekend and people call it a holiday, but it's not a day that we necessarily celebrate. It certainly isn't a day to pay tribute to those serving. It's something entirely different. What is Memorial Day and what does it mean, and what's some of the history of Memorial Day? Memorial Day, 2016. And it should be unnecessary to say these things, but apparently it is. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for all those who have died in service to the United States of America. It is not a day of celebration. It's really a somber day, especially if you've lost someone near and dear to you in any of the many conflicts at any time in our history. Obviously, for those of us who are alive in the present time frame, it would have been in the last 50 or so years. But I think it's pretty easy to forget that this is a day of remembrance for people who have given their lives in service to the country. It was originally called Decoration Day. Its inception came after the Civil War. The first Memorial Day, Decoration Day, in 1868 included a speech by General and future President Garfield, himself a Civil War vet at Arlington National Cemetery. I think it should be pointed out that Arlington has its own history. Obviously, it was the family home of General Lee, and Monty Meigs, Union General, Quartermaster of the Army, and Engineer. Monty Meigs was given responsibility for laying out Arlington National Cemetery to bury the Union war dead. Meigs insisted on putting graves right up to Lee's property, right up to the foundation of the house, so that the family could look at what General Lee had done. That was his opinion. And it's very interesting. That's how deep the sentiment went in that late hour after the Civil War, 1868. And it's also interesting considering the fact that Robert E. Lee's rehabilitation as some kind of hero in history, as the reluctant general of the Confederate Army, he wasn't held in such high esteem at that point in our history. Arlington, as I said, was the family home of the Lees, and I don't think I've read, he may have, but I don't think that General Lee ever lived or went there again after the war. Certainly, the dead being buried right up to the foundation of the house may have had something to do with that. I've never actually been to Arlington, and I lived in Washington, D.C., and I've never been to that that cemetery. It's kind of interesting. And I've certainly made this mistake, thinking that Memorial Day was a day to honor veterans, and that is a mistake that you make once if you're on the radio. You make it once because you're made very well aware by veterans and other people that Memorial Day is a day to honor those who've given their lives in service. Veterans Day is November 11th. But for some, they will be thinking of that somebody that didn't come home. They'll be thinking of the boyfriend who might have been a husband, but he never came back from France. They will be thinking, well, I'll be thinking about my sister's friend Pete. And I've been thinking a lot about him lately. Pete came to my sister's 21st birthday party. He had been drafted, and he was wearing his uniform, his khakis. And he was scared to death because my friend Andy and I, and Andy, if you're listening, you might remember this, we sat out on the curb with Pete because he was kind of drunk and drinking beer, and we were a lot younger. We were younger than my sister. And they were in the yard drinking or doing something, God knows what, and Pete was sitting out. And I remember the guy talking about how scared he was that he wasn't going to come home from Vietnam, and he never came home. And I don't remember his last name, but I remember Pete. So there's a good number of people who will also be thinking about some of those millennials who spend so much time on their cell phones. You know, the ones people complain so much about. Some of those guys gave their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. They will not be coming home, and their families and friends will be thinking of them. And some will think about their own serving now, and they will worry about them, depending on where they are and what they are doing. And all of those who have gone, either volunteered or been drafted, who never came home, people will be thinking about them. And they will be thinking about them probably silently. If they served with those guys, they will be thinking of them silently. My brother-in-law was a combat veteran in Vietnam, and he went to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. once. And it was a pretty moving, powerful moment for him, and he went on Memorial Day. You know, growing up, I can remember seeing quite a few blue stars and some gold ones in windows in the neighborhood when we were, you know, running around doing our crazy stuff. And some of those gold stars were pretty faded, so they would go back to Korea, perhaps. I don't know. And some of them were new, which meant Vietnam. And there were quite a few in the windows. And the gold star means that someone lost someone. The blue means someone in the family is serving. So this is some heavy stuff for some people. It isn't something that they're going to necessarily share. It isn't something that's going to be a topic of conversation, but it's something that I know people who are veterans and people who have our family members and friends of those who have never come home are going to think about. And this is a time when we're supposed to be thinking about how important this is to us. We're supposed to stop at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day to remember someone who served that did not come home. We're supposed to count our blessings and appreciate the freedom these people did give their lives for. And again, some people will be doing that this weekend and some people won't. But I don't think it would be right for me to talk about how wonderful this summer is without recognizing that there are some people who will not be able to experience that because they are no longer with us, because they went someplace and they did something and they didn't have the choice of where they wanted to serve or what they wanted to do, and they never came home. And I think that is pretty amazing in a country that people seem to be able to forget that for some reason. And I guess in a sense it's okay. Life goes on. I don't know what the fallen think. I suppose some might say that they fought and gave their lives for us to make the decision as to how much we want to honor them or not honor them or think about them on this Memorial Day. It is not a day to honor war. That is not what it's for. It is a day to honor the sadness and the depth of sacrifice that some families and some people make. So let's make sure it was worth it for them. The end of the presidential preference primary and caucus season is nearing, and it is a waypoint for political junkies. What are some of the takeaways from this 2016 primary season as it comes to a close? Next. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show. Just ahead of segment three of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, I want to say thanks to the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts, Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, especially landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. What it does is provide a visual indicator of your angle of attack so that when you're turning on final approach, you can maintain the proper angle of attack. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It's FAA approved. Here's what you do. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page and at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast blog for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com, right at the top of the page. And thanks, Alpha, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast digital site. All right, here is segment. I got to check. Segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Hearing the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. To hear more of this show, visit GCNlive.com. If you want to hear more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. You can also message and email me through thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. It's hard to believe, but the 2016 primary season in presidential politics is almost over. For both mainline political parties, there have been unexpected developments. For one thing, Republicans are on the verge of nominating Trump to be their presidential candidate, unless something unpredictable happens at the RNC. And Democrats seem to be divided between a self-avowed Democratic socialist and an establishment political operator who has wanted to be president for years, decades. What are the takeaways as we close this chapter? The next official waypoint is going to be June 7th, which is the week after next, I think, when the last primaries are held for Republicans and Democrats. So we have California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota for both Republicans and Democrats. And then we have North Dakota for Democrats. And also for Democrats, the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico hold a caucus and primary, respectively, on Saturday, June 4th. The Puerto Rico primary will be interesting because, of course, the Puerto Ricans are looking for a bailout from the federal government because they've mismanaged their money for so long. I think that's important because if they bail out Puerto Rico, now the rules regarding territories versus states, I would imagine, are a little different. But if they bail out Puerto Rico, then should they bail out Illinois, which is the next basket case that is coming? The big question here is whether Bernie Sanders is going to win California. And when we talk about Democrats, let's talk about this for a second, because while the action has sort of moved away from the Republicans, even though Donald Trump continues to get headlines saying things, and it's funny how the media really, really doesn't want to report on it. Barbara Boxer got into a big fight with the Bernie Sanders supporters. Bill Clinton got into a fight with the Bernie Sanders supporters. I don't know if it was in California or not. Democrats, and especially establishment Democrats, it's hard to believe that we're saying that, of Hillary Clinton and Barbara Boxer and Bill Clinton, are not used to being challenged by people in their own party. But that is what is happening. And the question and the thing that people are focusing on is the question of whether Bernie Sanders can win California, whether he can win New Jersey, and whether he can win New Mexico. Any one of those is big news. If it's California, it's really big news. If it's California and New Jersey, or all three, then it might cause some of these superdelegates to start questioning Hillary Clinton's role as the inevitable nominee for the Democrats. I hate these words like inevitable and presumptive, because nothing is inevitable or presumptive in politics. And as an aside, I don't think that this... there's two things. First of all, I think if I'm a Democrat, I am going to view Bernie Sanders as the logical successor to Barack Obama, who is really, aside from Woodrow Wilson and Teddy Roosevelt, truly the first progressive president that we've had in a long time. And so if you're a Democrat, I don't see Democrats as really feeling an affinity to, especially when you consider what they believe in, you know, and what they're for. And this isn't meant to be derogatory. This is, you know, giving them the credit that they deserve. Democrats elected Barack Obama twice, you know, And if he served two terms and will be out of office on January 17th, whenever it is. And, you know, the successor to that president, you know, Hillary Clinton, really isn't cut from the same cloth as Barack Obama. But Bernie Sanders is, and I think he's a logical successor to Barack Obama. I don't know that the Democratic Party sees it that way, but I think that's important. The second thing is, everybody is now talking about the State Department audit concluding that Mrs. Clinton violated, Secretary Clinton violated federal regulations by having her own email server, you know, in the bathroom at her condo or whatever it was. I don't think it hurts her very much, because the other person that they cited, one of the other people that they cited, was Colin Powell, who didn't go so far as to have his own email server in his bathroom, but he certainly had email sent to and had another email address. So I don't know that that makes it a moot point, but I don't expect Hillary Clinton to be persecuted. Well, she will be persecuted, but I doubt that she'll be prosecuted for this. Anyway, the thing that's interesting about it is they ought to change her name to Hillary Clinton email, because every time you see the name Hillary Clinton, you see the words email. You see the word email written next to her name, and then the rest of the headline of whatever the email scandal is going to show. So it's very interesting, but I don't know that that's going to hurt her. I think the energy behind Bernie Sanders and the idea that Bernie Sanders would be the natural successor to Barack Obama hurts her more than almost anything else. She is a 90s chick, and Bill Clinton is a 70s guy. And between the two of them, they represent yesterday and not today. So it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats settle on Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders. And so the next spate of primaries for the Democrats are absolutely critical. If Clinton wins California, well, then it's all over, I think, for Bernie at that point, because the superdelegates aren't going to risk breaking with the Clintons unless there's a reason for it. So on the Republican side, I don't think there's any chance that Trump is going to lose the last few state primaries. I suppose it will be a question of how delegates are allocated and who's still on the ballot left, you know, and what those state conventions end up doing and what he actually ends up going to the convention with in terms of delegates. So I would still not call Donald Trump the presumptive nominee until he is the nominee. And it's so interesting because delegates have yet to decide who the nominee will be, and all the major news outlets refer to Trump as the Republican nominee, and he hasn't been nominated yet. What are the takeaways to think about this weekend after you've put the dock in and you're sitting there with your brother-in-law with either a cup of coffee or a beer or a bottle of Jack Daniels?
I have coffee.
So that's, I'm stuck with coffee at this point. Well, there's still drama. And, you know, it may suddenly be muted in the Republican ranks, but drama nonetheless. First of all, we won't be able to count the delegates until they arrive in Cleveland, because you still have people working for Cruz who are fighting to get delegates, and so we don't really know what the delegate count is going to be. It's fair to say that it's probably, you know, that Trump will probably have the required number, but I don't really want to make that statement. And I think that's one of the things that sets me apart from all of these predictors of the future with their tarot cards, because we don't know what's going to happen until it happens. We can presume. But that's presumptuous, right? I mean, we're presuming. We're not really talking about hard facts. And hard facts, like who is the nominee versus who is said to be the nominee, are the things that are in short supply right now. The other big story right now is that Paul Ryan is playing a dangerous game by not coming out with a full-throated endorsement of Trump, but then turning around and attacking Clinton. And it makes me wonder what he's up to. Something is going on, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but that's one of the takeaways from all this, in my view. So I'm not ready to say that that this is a done deal with Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention, and who knows what'll happen if he isn't nominated, but I'm just saying right now there's a lot of unanswered questions, and it's one of the takeaways from this. I just have to mention this. David K. Johnson, who's written a lot of stuff about Wall Street, put a piece, and I think it was in Politico, which said the headline was Trump's mob ties. And there really wasn't too much detail in there, but I do want to say this. I think you're going to see an increase in the velocity and the intensity of those kinds of articles in the next few weeks as we get closer and closer to these conventions in the latter half of the summer. Coming up, suddenly Republicans are talking about unity. But unity behind Donald Trump means what? What happens to the Republican Party if Trump is the nominee, and especially if he wins the presidency? Next. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Welcome back, live from the studio with this washer. I don't know how long it's taken, an awful long. My washer is taking an awful long time, but it's nice to be able to wash things in the studio, which I cannot do in mobile podcast command. And I don't care, because usually I go to the coin laundries when I'm on the road, and it's great. So summer operations this year, we are getting ready for the air show. We're getting ready for Sturgis. We're getting ready, hopefully, for Burning Man. We're getting ready for the Republican National Convention. If they give me credentials, I may just go to Cleveland and drive around and talk to Clevelanders about what's going on in their town. But to do all of this, I need donations for Mobile Podcast Command. To do that, you click on the donate button under the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, and you can donate whatever you want. I thank people online, and I thank people, quote-unquote, on the air for their donations to the BobDavisPodcast.com, and I really appreciate it. Those donations are exclusively for Mobile Podcast Command. Tires, mechanical work, fuel, and of course, I always talk about the beef jerky that I eat on the road and the nuts and the Komodo Dragon coffee. And that's what it's for. It doesn't get used for anything else. So really appreciate your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Let's get back to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, segment four. To the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Welcome back. So unity is a word you're going to be hearing a lot in the next few weeks from Republicans. Unity behind the presumptive nominee because why? Unify around what? What does Donald Trump stand for? What does the Republican Party stand for? We got to get unified because we got to win everything. If we get unified, we're going to win everything. And I thought to myself, win what? And unity around what? And this is the thing that's interesting to me about Republicans right now. What exactly does Donald Trump stand for? Are you, and I'm going to ask this question of people listening, are you feeling like, you know what, I'm going to support this guy because I really believe in what he stands for? What does he stand for? He's going to bring factory jobs back to the United States? Is that what you're supporting? Now, I suppose if you're a coal worker, he could probably do something about that by simply reversing some of the stuff that Obama's done with executive orders related to environment and coal. But when it comes to factory jobs coming back to the United States, I just want to mention a couple of things. I saw a story tonight that Foxconn, which makes the iPhone, it is just replacing 60, among other things, they replaced 60,000 workers in China, which is nothing, but it's still a lot of workers. 60,000 workers in China with robots. And this is just the beginning. If they can find robots to make iPhones and replace workers at any level of the manufacturing process with iPhones, it's just the beginning. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about how contractors can't find tradesmen. They are still working with guys that they've worked with for years, baby boomers, who are trying to be semi-retired, but they're coming out and working because they can't find any young people who want to be carpenters. Nobody wants to be a plumber. Nobody wants to be a carpenter. And if nobody wants to be a plumber and carpenter, these are really highly skilled trades and pretty high pay for the most part if you are highly skilled. Then who do you expect is going to want to work at a factory? Yet walling up the country and preventing anyone from coming in from the outside is somehow now a Republican idea. Moreover, bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. through trade protectionism is suddenly now a Republican idea. And these things, you know, Ronald Reagan was a free trader. He was most decidedly not a protectionist. Protectionism is an old line Democratic idea. And I'm willing to bet that Bernie Sanders is just as protectionist as Donald Trump. Again, these are traditionally not Republican ideals or ideas, and yet people are talking about unity around Donald Trump, and he is really pushing this idea of protectionism. But it doesn't seem to me that anybody really cares because they want to unify around someone who can win the argument, who's going to win. That is what Republicans care about, winning, which is very sad in a lot of ways. And it's why I say words like conservative and liberal are meaningless, especially when you talk about Republicans. So here's what has happened in my view. People who registered as Republicans to vote in this primary cycle, that's an important distinction. People who registered as Republicans to vote in this primary cycle would suggest, given their votes, that they have settled on Donald Trump as the presidential candidate. A much smaller group of voters wanted the evangelical and self-described constitutionalist Ted Cruz, and a still smaller group of Republicans voted for what could be referred to as establishment candidates like John Kasich and Jeb Bush and so forth, Rubio. So the pools of public opinion in the Republican Party, what is perceived as conservative in this country, and I think incorrectly, are populists, or maybe we should just call them Trumpists, people who want someone who can win the argument, as I said, especially if it means coming up with cute names and nasty jokes about the opponent, which, by the way, is fair game in politics. And people keep saying that he's this horrible person, but this is the nature of politics. What he's doing is defining his opponents. And you may not like it, but that's part of the deal. Someone who will stop the flow of illegal immigrants and stop allowing Muslim refugees from entering the U.S. Someone who will make the government work again, which is what Make America Great sort of means. But again, those are not, you know, truly conservative ideas. That's just someone who's going to make the state work better. And by the way, Barack Obama said he was going to do that. Someone who is going to turn the international system on its ear. Maybe it needs to be turned on its ear, but without knowing what it's going to be replaced with. That is, I hate to say dangerous, but let's just say that's a risky proposition. A sticky wicket. Someone who will defend the police and the armed forces. People feel that, some people in this country feel that the police are getting it raw. Deal, and that the armed forces need to be defended, and the police need to be defended, and the first responders need to be defended. And maybe they do. I don't know. I'm just saying this is what I think Trump represents. And by the way, I'm not going to sit here and try to explain why Trump. This is another thing that all of the pundits and the writers are all trying to explain why people are voting for Trump. I have no idea. I'm just telling you. This populist pool, for lack of a better term, and I hate that term too, so I'm going to call it this Trumpist pool. This is just one of the pools, and it's the largest pool of Republican voters in the primary season. It's one of the reasons they've been able to settle on Trump. And the last few things that Trump represents, I think, is someone who's going to slow down all these trade agreements so the United States, quote unquote, gets what it wants and starts, quote unquote, winning again. Not someone that's going to change the way we trade or change the monetary system or change any of these other things. It's someone who's just going to make what we've got work better for us. Someone to set China and Russia straight, especially China. And so why? Because China took all of our jobs. And so we need a president who's going to set these Chinese straight on how they can't take our jobs. That's one pool. And then there is the establishment pool, which is a very small pool. This is people who want to return to decency in politics. This is someone who's going to make sure that the government works properly again. Someone who's going to, quote unquote, fix the economy and knows how to fix the economy because they're Romney or they're whatever. Someone who, or they're a throwback to Reagan, or someone who's going to make sure that people who are in power, especially in the House and Senate and in local legislatures, stay in power. So establishment, you know, we don't need to be making any crazy changes. We just need good stewards, for lack of a better term. And then you have this, that's a very small pool. And then a slightly smaller pool than the populist pool or the Trumpist pool is the evangelical pool. This is different from libertarians. They want to use the Constitution to make sure no gays get married and that there isn't any questions about the bathrooms, but it will all be constitutional. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm telling you I'm not. This is their core issue. This is the evangelical Catholic. This is the evangelical Protestant. They're most concerned about two things: Muslims and gays. And I'm not suggesting that they're racist or xenophobic or anything else. I'm saying these are the issues they care most about. And if you're one of them, you deserve respect for what you're concerned most about, but this is the evangelical core. It's someone who wants to see respect for Jesus Christ brought back to the White House, because the White House doesn't respect Jesus right now, according to them. And I say, okay, maybe you're right, and I'm not judging these pools, but it's a smaller pool than the Trumpist pool. And then finally, the smallest pool is the Libertarian pool. This is the old Ron Paul contingent, small numbers that came out for Rand Paul, but not really. So I don't know what happened to the Libertarians. Maybe they went to the Libertarian Party. The only group that generally and genuinely wants to reduce the size and power of the federal, state, and local governments is this Libertarian Ron Paul group. They don't have much of an opinion about gays and bathrooms. They don't support the internationalist foreign policy arguments. they have never defined to their detriment what the U.S. defensive perimeter extends to and how we would defend it. But I do think they have great economic ideas. They have classic economic ideas, classic capitalist economic ideas, von Mises and Murray Rothbard and, you know, so forth. And for that reason, I think they are really the soul of the Republican Party, and none of the other groups are the soul of the Republican Party. And by the way, libertarians are not conservatives. They are, in fact, liberals. They are the classic liberals, and they're the true classic liberals, not Mitt Romney. So, you know, the word statist sort of, you know, creeped into our political lexicon because of the Ron Paul people, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. So none of that is really what I consider old school Republican, which is why I say the Reagan coalition and the old Reagan conservative ideas that animated the Republican Party in the 1980s is as dead as he is. That's going to do it for this installment of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. If you hear something that you like or something that piques your interest or something you take exception to, check out all the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Bye-bye. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. I always find it interesting that the content from the podcasts is shaped just a little differently in the radio show because you have to edit in order to get things down to 8 minutes and 10-minute segments, and it changes the nature of what I do, and I think that's fascinating. And again, if you hear anything that you want to hear more of or that you take exception to or that you're interested in, all the podcasts are right at the BobDavisPodcast.com page, and thanks for listening off the page. And thanks to Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts all these months. Don't forget, if you are doing any kind of sports, if you know someone who is doing sports, whether it's yoga or hockey or wrestling or whatever, Hydrus can transform their competitive practice, whether it's yoga, which is not supposed to be competitive, but it is, martial arts, any of that stuff. Check out HydrusPerformance.com. That's HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. And thanks to you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes or TuneIn, and BlogTalkRadio.com and GCNLive.com, and of course, AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul on Saturdays at 4 p.m. to hear the radio show on the air. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. On Instagram, I'm The Bob Davis Podcasts, by the way. If you want to find me, it's a lot easier than BDavis7843, which is what it was before. And again, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. That's going to do it for podcast 505. Hopefully this laundry will be done soon so I can put it in the dryer. In my dryer. Here in my basement.